Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast 145. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And I wanted to let you know, we got this very special guest. Aren't you excited?
I am very perky about this guest, actually.
Yeah, we got Stacey J. Oswald from VO Buzz Weekly, Disney Top 7 Must-Sees, and Must-Do Disney.
Wow, that's a mouthful. And those of us that have been down to Disney World know that she's the delightful young woman you see on your resort TV telling you all about Disney World. And I don't know about you or the listeners, but I can't get enough of that. I play it continuously when I'm in my resort room down there.
Nonstop. It's on all the time. I mean, the great thing is every time we leave the room, I leave the TV on because I think it's safer, because then they think somebody's in the room.
Yeah, plus I just love the fact that she's on, even though I've seen it, you know, I'm going to say 500 times, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, plus the times that I've watched it on YouTube and stuff like that. It's just comforting to know it's there and she's on telling you all about Disney World, and I don't know, it's just my little bubble. I don't want to watch regular TV or sports or anything. I want to be in that, immersed in the Disney bubble, and Stacey does a good job at creating the magic, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. And what I'm saying is I like leaving the TV on, but what's great about it, when you come back, she's always on. She's like welcoming you back into the room.
Right, right.
It's, I mean, like tradition for me.
Yeah, my wife and kids get kind of, you know, can you put something else on? But when I'm there, I bet you I watch it at least 50, 60 times when I'm there on vacation during a week's time. And we leave the TV on at night. So it's kind of in background. So even if we're watching something else when we fall asleep, I'll switch it over to there in the middle of the night and go back to sleep.
I don't blame you. Yeah, because we do the same thing. I can't sleep without the TV. But yeah, she does a wonderful job. She's the perfect representative for Disney, don't you agree?
Oh, I do. And, you know, I was surprised, and as the listeners will learn as they listen to the podcast coming up, I mean, she's been at it for like 10 years already, and it doesn't seem that long, but I guess time flies. But, yeah, she's been doing the Disney, or has been the face of Disney for about 10 years now.
Yeah, there's so many different things. Like, I remember it. It's just like, it seems longer for me. I mean, I honestly felt like, to me, that she's been there since my first trip. It would seem weird not having her at Disney now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's weird, and I hate to do this to you. I'm going to put you on the spot. I forget the woman's name that did it before Stacey, but she was very popular as well. But I've long forgotten her name.
Oh, I remember Stacey.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you know, for the most part, you're right. For most of my Disney vacationing, if you will. What year did we start going? I know we started
97,
the same year.
Both of us the
yeah,
same
97.
Time.
So 97 to 2007. Yeah, I mean, you know, she wasn't there for the whole time, but it's been the lion's share of it, and it certainly seems like she's been there, you know, for our whole Disney lives, if you will.
Well, I hope they keep her on for a long time to come. I hope, you know, because, you know, it wouldn't be the same without her down there. But I hope all our fans are looking forward to listening to this, and we're going to get ready. We're going to go into her interview now. Dan, you ready for it?
I'm ready for some Triple Mountain Whammy, if that's what it is.
Triple Mountain Whammy, and you're going to get wet.
Okay.
All right, guys, enjoy our interview with Stacey J., and we all hope you enjoy it. And don't forget to check out our sponsors and everything at our website. And everybody, wish Dennis a happy birthday. Happy birthday,
Thank you,
Dennis.
Doug.
Be good. Talk to you later.
No singing on this podcast.
All right, bye bye, buddy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, Doug. How you doing this week?
I'm doing great. We got a very, very special guest. We got Stacey J. Oswald from VO Buzz Weekly, Disney Top 7 Must-Sees and Must-Do Disney. How you doing, Stacey?
I'm great, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Where everybody knows Stacey J. in the Disney community. So how you been doing? What's new, Stace?
I've been doing great, busy, you know, keeping my cats fed and just, you know, doing my thing.
So
doing
how?
As long as the cats are happy, isn't that really what it's all about? So come on.
We have cats three rules. Of them over here.
Cats
so.
All right, I love it. Yeah. So no, everything's good. I'm doing my Disney work and a lot of voiceover work and commercials. You know, every day is sort of a new adventure. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing or. I'll audition for something, and then a little while later, I'll find out I got it or I didn't, or you know, I just kind of do my thing. And when somebody asks me to show up somewhere and do my job, I do it happily.
So, how do you like doing the VO Buzz Weekly?
I love it. You know, it's kind of a for me, it was a brainchild of myself and Chuck Duran, who's one of the best demo producers in the voiceover business, and he works with people all over the world. And we wanted to do something creative that was collaborative, and we were trying to figure out what to do. And we realized that we could play to each other's strengths and each other's experience. He's been in the voiceover business for more than 25 years. And so we came up with this concept. And truly what I love the most about it is that we're putting out content that inspires people to go for their dreams, that it's something that's fun, it's something that's entertaining, but it also is educational. We get just the best of the best in the business, and they come on and share their stories and give tips and techniques and great advice about life. And what's really cool that's happened since we premiered the show back in 2012, now that we're 150, I think, three episodes in, we realize that even people that don't want to be in voiceover, the show and the tone of it and the guests and the conversations that we have are resonating with people that aren't interested in voiceover, but they're learning life lessons and things about rejection and persistence and things that are really the human experience. It's a universal thing. We all experience triumphs and we all get knocked down. And so I love that it's really about tips and patterns and behaviors of successful people. So for me as a host, for me as a voice actor, for me just as a person, I really love that we're putting out content that is good and is inspiring. It's putting good into the world and not demeaning people or exploiting people. So I really, really am excited about it, and it just keeps kind of getting bigger and bigger. And we just won a Voice Arts Award back in November for Outstanding Podcast, which was a lovely recognition. And we're just going to keep going and doing it bigger and better. And so we're actually in March, we're going to this event called VO Atlanta, and we're doing a live VO Buzz Weekly that's going to stream there on Thursday the 12th. So that's going to be really exciting. And yeah, so we're just really we're loving it, and I've gotten to meet some amazing people who've become friends, and it just makes me I just feel kind of better every time I do it. I just feel like I've learned something and grown somehow.
Well, you guys seem like you're having a great time doing the show. One of my favorite shows was when you had the voice of Disneyland on there, and how he fell into the job. It was amazing listening to that episode.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Bill Rogers and Camille Dixon, she's the voice of California Adventure. And it's so sweet because they're married and he's Mr. Disneyland. So they're just lovely, lovely people. And they have such a great story. And they're just a great example of being a team. And, I mean, as you know, I mean, Bill talks about growing up listening to the announcers and just that. And then he would walk into those shoes and he's been there. Gosh, it's like 25 years or something crazy. So it's really exciting. Yeah, but we had a great time with them. They're really good people, and it's always fun to meet fellow magic magic lovers.
Well, that's the two of us.
Yes.
And we, I really enjoyed the episode also with the, I forget the gentleman's name, but it was the first time I ever seen somebody eating an apple live on a video interview.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, that would be Cam Clark.
Yes, I was watching that episode. His name didn't come to me, but I remember him eating the apple as you guys were introducing me at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, he put the apples down his pants, too, towards the end. So
I didn't see that part. Now I have to watch the end of it.
Yeah, you've got to watch part two because he really – he's hysterical. He's such an incredibly talented guy. He's one of the original – he's Leonardo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He's the voice of He-Man, the voice of Snoopy. He replaced Matthew Broderick, the singing voice in Lion King. Such a talented guy, such a great guy, and has been literally in show business since he was a child. His family was the King family. They had a musical variety show in the late 60s and 70s. So he's just a hoot. I mean, he's so fun. We had such a great time with him. And that's what's kind of funny, too, is that some people we know and some people we don't meet until they come to the studio. And so a lot of people say, oh, my gosh, you guys know everybody. But there's some people that we literally just met the day they walked in. And I don't know, something just happens. There's some cool connection and we all just become fast friends. And it's just a very comfortable, it's a very laid back like this. I mean, it's a very laid back thing. It's not trying to trick anybody with questions they wouldn't want to talk about or know about.
You don't make nobody uncomfortable.
Yeah, we have a great time. Thanks for watching. I really appreciate it.
No, I've really enjoyed it, and the thing I liked about it was is you get to see people that any movie star, like with Kristen Bell and Frozen and all, you know, and all the main movie stars, it's nice to give recognition to the other voices of the show that you're trying to think who it is and you're thinking it's a star, and it's nice to see that you're giving recognition to all these people that are really the bread and butter to a lot of these movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, the celebrity factor is on the on-camera side, it's on the voiceover side, and absolutely, I mean, you have people like Rob Paulsen and Maurice LaMarche who have literally dedicated their life to voiceover, and, you know, they might only get a line or two in a major animated feature because a celebrity is taking the primary starring roles, but these are amazing men and women who are incredible actors, and that's always kind of the misconception. People think, oh, voiceover, you know, it's voice acting. You have to create, it's even more challenging because without being seen, you have to create this full story, this full atmosphere without, you know, especially comedy, when you use your face or you do a physical gag, obviously who's not going to laugh? But when you're not seen, you have to be as full and as creative as possible to make sure that the audience captures what's happening. And so I have such mad respect, and it's so great to get to know these people and work with these people and share this industry. I'm in love with it, and it's definitely becoming more, you know, it's certainly not as in the foreground of the entertainment business, but it certainly is growing and becoming more prominent, which I think is great.
I find it very, very interesting. You guys are doing a wonderful job on it, and I enjoy it. I keep watching episode after episode. So
thank you. Well, yeah, you can see it on – we're on YouTube now too, so you can see it on our YouTube channel of VO Buzz Weekly or on the website, VOBuzzWeekly.com. And I really appreciate your support. And so, yeah, check it out. You don't have to be a voice actor or even a fan to walk away with something cool that you could use in whatever you're doing in your life.
You have a lot of video game people on there, too, that I've seen that you guys have talked to, which is very interesting, too.
Yeah, that's an amazing genre of voiceover. We just had February was like the girl power month. We had Jennifer Hale and Vanessa Marshall. I mean, Jennifer Hale, they call her the Meryl Streep of video games. I mean, she's incredible. She's done just like 100. I think it's 164. She's probably done 7 more today. But she's incredible. And yeah, we had Steve Bloom, who's huge. Cowboy Bebop. I mean, just amazing, amazing stuff. And yeah, so we really try to go into all areas, whether it's voice talent, agents, writers, directors. We really try to go so that everyone gets a little cross section of whether it's narration or promos, commercials, animation, games, because I think it's an interesting thing. And I think when you now pay attention to commercials, or even when you're on hold and you're hearing that person, it's called IVR. It's telephony, and a lot of times that's a human being who's recording that. And so there's people that make their living off of doing e-learning or
Like the
telephony.
lady in my navigational system.
Exactly. Yeah, so voiceover is everywhere. And when you really think about it, so many things, especially commercials. Well, radio is, obviously radio, everything's based on the voiceover, but even television commercials, so many really compelling commercials really come alive when that perfect voice and performance is matched with the visual and tells that story, because it's really all about telling stories, whether it's a promo for a TV show or a trailer for a movie or a commercial for Target or a retirement fund. I mean, they're these little mini stories, and you really have to capture the listener so they don't walk out of the room and get popcorn, or they don't switch the radio channel. So that's the challenge to
Well,
really cut through.
you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
So
I
go ahead,
have to
Dan.
ask you, Stacy. So how do you get to be, or how do you get the gig to be the face of the Disney company as far as people that check into the Walt Disney World Resort and turn on their TV and see you telling them all about what they're going to experience at the Walt Disney World Resort? How did that all come to be, and how did you get the gig, basically?
Well, it started back in 2005. So I'm getting ready to hit my on
Wow.
5/5 2005. So 5/5/05. I always call it my Disneyversary. And that's when the top 7 must-sees of Walt Disney World first went on the air.
Okay.
And I did it just like any other a lot of jobs that I get is I auditioned. At the time I was living in North Carolina, and my whole first life was as a dancer choreographer, and I was in North Carolina for a couple of years, and I went on this audition, and it was actually I drove from Charlotte to Atlanta, and I was there for some other project, and the casting director said, "Tomorrow we're doing this thing for Disney. We'll just put you on tape today so you don't have to drive back tomorrow." I said, "Great." So I remember they gave me the Summit Plummet copy. And I had never been to Disney World, actually, ever.
Wow.
So I'm trying to relate and envision and create, okay, where am I? What am I doing? Who am I talking to? How high up am I? And trying to kind of get into it. And so they put me on tape, and then I got called back to Atlanta a few days later, and the director was there. Awesome guy named Tom Denofe was the first director I worked with. I've had the great fortune of working with a bunch of different guys since then. But I did a callback. I did that copy again, and then they sent me out into the waiting room and said, "Here, take this new copy, and come back in a few minutes." And the thing that's challenging about Top 7 and Must Do Disney is it's all memorized. A lot of a lot of it's scripted, because I have to make sure I'm not making up tickets and just saying what I want to say. But then there is, wouldn't that be a disaster? Oh my gosh. I'd be here for 10 years if that's what happened. But then there's also a lot that's ad lib, and they send me off somewhere and go have fun with that character, or go play with that rattle in Africa. So I have a challenge of having to do things, and I didn't realize how challenging it would be, but it's very cool. So I came back in and did that next piece of copy, and a couple of days later they said, "You got it." And I think it came down to me and someone in Los Angeles. And it was all very accelerated because they had done a national casting, but from what I was told, everything kind of got pushed, and so they were really under the gun. So I only had 4 days to learn like 25 pages of script. And if you can imagine 25 pages from top to bottom with words, that's what I had to cram into my brain in 4 days and look like it was my words.
And I can only imagine Disney as a company are full of perfectionists, so I'm sure you had to learn that like down to the last word to please them.
Absolutely. Yes. There's no, I mean, the Disney, they have to have everything word perfect, because obviously I can't say and if it's or, and so it had to be perfect. So it was really actually my very first hosting job. So the stakes were really high for me, but I'm a really competitive person. I love being challenged. I love when you tell me I can't
Well,
do
you get
something
that from your
to show
dance
you can.
background.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I love a good challenge. And I said, well, you know what? They chose me and I am petrified, but somebody here or somebody above believes I can do this. So I just went down there and I said, let's go for it. And biggest thing is I believed in myself. I said, you earned this, you earned this gig. And so now go there and be a blessing and be amazing. So it was supposed to be for 1 year, and here I am in year 10. So
Wow.
it's such an honor. I mean, it really is truly in my career to date, it is absolutely without a doubt one of the things I am most excited to be a part of. I love now, especially with social media, on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, hearing from people and people saying, oh my gosh, I had a baby and now my baby has watched you or we got married and you were at our honeymoon. And it's really nice to be a part of people's happy times. And so it's something that I don't take for granted. I know how special it is. And every time I go back, it's not like, oh, here I am again. I find something new to fall in love with when I go, and there's always something that just hits me differently. Everyone always asks me, what's my favorite? And it's always so hard for me because it kind of depends. I mean, sometimes I'm all about the thrill rides, which I'm usually always all about the thrill
Well,
rides.
you
That's
seem
better.
like it. Well, that's what it is. It's your personality fits Disney to a T. Like when you're yelling when they're going down Splash Mountain, you're gonna get wet. It's
Yeah.
like it's just you're having fun and you fit in like in the personality. Like I can't wait to turn you on in the room just to have you in the background because you cheer everything up while we're there.
Thank you. Yeah, that's actually when we did that shot, I was standing on someone's leg because I couldn't see over. So I was actually standing on a very wonderful man who's part of the production team. He knelt on the ground and I stood on his thigh for what seemed like forever. And I did take my shoes off and I just kept saying, I'm sorry, are you okay? He's like, seriously, you don't weigh that much. But it was so funny. I'm standing on a human being in order to yell at people that they're going to get wet.
Well,
So
he probably went home and said Stacy J stood on my leg today when we recorded this, and that's his claim to fame.
what's the going rate for that, I wonder? But
I mean,
25 cents probably.
I was just rewatching Must Do Disney, and it amazed me when you were talking about FastPass Plus and my Disney experience. My guess is that you shot that well in advance of that being rolled out to the average guest. So to understand all that, or maybe you didn't even understand it all at the time, but to get that straight in your head and to understand, how to portray it on screen and make it so that it made sense to the average guest. I mean, that must have been a task in itself.
Well, for me, I always kind of look when I'm looking at the camera, which is always either starts really close on my face or ends really close on my face. I always kind of imagine that I'm talking to you, Dennis. I'm talking to you, Doug. I always kind of imagine that I'm talking to an individual. It's really important that you know this information, but I also want to make it something that you want to listen to, and it's not like want want Charlie Brown's teacher going, here she goes again, so that
Right.
it's actually something because it's important information. But what definitely gets me every time is just how incredibly with the times and on the pulse that Disney is, and how they really understand the culture of who's of the guests and know what people need and what they want to have. And so, yeah, I always kind of do my research. And then, yes, like you said, I mean, I'll get things, and then very soon after, it'll be put into the show. And sometimes things are unveiled before I've put it in the show, and sometimes it's just after. But it is cool, and the magic bands, I mean, it's just
They're
genius
incredible,
that
aren't they?
they, it's so cool how, and then you have this wonderful keepsake item instead, that you can do fun stuff with. You can tie your hair back with it, for God's sake.
Now we just collect them and put them in our Disney geek room. That's what we
Nice.
have.
Yeah.
Now, Stacy, do you travel to Disney with your family, or do you just when you have work to do there, do you kind of tag along, I guess, and make a vacation out of that? I mean, I'm just curious, do you get down to Florida at all, or often, or not at all?
I usually go when they need me to come there, and I don't usually have a lot of time for, you know, they usually, you know, they fly me in and I do my thing and then I fly back out. I mean, it's the irony is that I'm, you know, working, but man, is it so fun? It's not like I'm sitting there typing emails for people. I mean, I'm running around doing my thing. Oh, poor me. I get to ride things over and over and over again. But I love it because I kind of get this cool view of the park and get to see everyone having fun, and then I get to do my thing. And obviously now I've been around for a while, so when we're filming, people will sort of gather around. So it's sort of a show within a show, and I want to make sure that I am on my A game so that people aren't disappointed, because it's kind of fun to have that challenge of now people are watching, so it's kind of a live show that's being taped.
Now, what
But
rooms are? I'm sorry.
I don't really go, truthfully. I was only there one time when I was in Orlando promoting a film that I was in. But in general, I don't go, and I usually, because my schedule's kind of crazy, I don't usually get to stay and extend it.
Now, out of the resorts they've put you up in, what is your favorite resort?
Oh man. You know,
Don't you can pick one. Everybody has a favorite resort. They're all beautiful. We all know they're all nice, but you always have a favorite.
Isn't it fun how the toiletries are just slightly different at each one?
Yes.
It's like I like the lotion. No. The Grand Floridian, of course, is gorgeous. And I really do, and I've stayed there a few times, but I really love the Yacht Club and the Beach Club. They're really cool, and I love having the boardwalk right there. So those two are definitely a highlight for me. And then the Animal Kingdom Lodge was really cool.
It's
He's like
gorgeous, isn't it? Now,
I
did
know
you?
I've named four things already, but
No, but that's good. But your favorite area, like me and Dennis, I love a resort. I don't know if you've probably been there, but I love Port Orleans Riverside.
I haven't been there.
It's a moderate, but it was a moderate deluxe, I call it. But it's just the grounds. It's like New Orleans, old Southern mansions, gone with the wind. It's
Oh,
absolutely
cool.
beautiful over there.
That sounds amazing. Well, I loved it, Animal Kingdom Lodge, because literally I had opened the door to the balcony and I turn around and I'm like, am I jet lagged? Am I hallucinating? I'm like, there's a giraffe. There is a
Maybe
freaking giraffe
both.
staring at me. And I mean, I'm a huge animal lover and an animal advocate, so I'm like, this is incredible. So I literally stayed up just sort of talking to the animals. It was awesome. But yeah, I think I've stayed at just about almost all of them that are on property. And you know, they're all so lovely, and man, those people work so hard. I mean, I'm always amazed, because a lot of times I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, because we start shooting usually very early. So you see everyone behind the scenes, and it's literally just this beautiful choreography of
Fine oil machine.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And it's always cool. I love when I'm in the parks before they're open. That never gets old for me. I feel like I'm surrounded by all the wonderful little spirits there. I love it.
Me and Dennis, like, we sneak in 15 minutes before everybody else. We'd love to be in there, when you're in there.
Yes. Well, we'll see what we can do. Yeah, but it's cool because, you know, the sun is coming up, and you're just, it's completely quiet, and it really is an amazing place.
I was watching the Must Do Disney, the film there, if you will, that they show in the resorts. And I saw you at the American Idol, for instance, and you're up on stage and you go, oh, is this thing on? And I'm thinking, is that like at 5 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody there? And I'm just curious, when was that done?
Yeah, that was early. We were the only ones in there, and yeah, it was just me and an incredible crew of people who make me look and sound good, and we knocked it out. But it was fun, and some of that's improv and some of that is scripted, but that was really cool, and I enjoyed it. That was really fun. But yeah, we were in the park there. We started, and then as we progress, obviously the day goes on. But I've also shot at Downtown Disney. We start usually there at night, and then the last time I was there, we shot through the night, and we wrapped. I think we started at like 7 o'clock at night, and we wrapped at like 5:30 in the morning. So that was
Holy
pretty cool.
moly.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, for instance, I was just watching the Must Do Disney, I mean, Star Tours. So when you're on the in the ride vehicle, if you will, there's all these other people around. Are those actors or are those actual guests that are with you at that time?
The people that are definitely seen, those are extras. They have incredible people who coordinate all of that. And those
Okay.
are people that are extras that are designated to be there. And so sometimes they have that same group. Sometimes they'll mix them up, whoever sits near me or next to me. And sometimes, depending on the attraction, they have a whole group of different people. So, yeah, everybody that you see that's walking through the shot or that's walking behind me or sitting in the cars with me, those are people, those are extras that have volunteered, or I'm not sure what they get paid. I'm not sure what the rate is there.
They're some Disney, they're Disney employees' family, is what they are.
Okay.
That's what I think it is. It's your
Right.
cousins, your aunt, your uncle. They all get to come and spend free time in the parks. I bet you that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they, I mean, I know that they have awesome people that coordinate all that because they shoot so much stuff there that I think they have, I mean, they just have a wonderful division that's all about getting people, you know, because you have to be able to follow direction and you have to be able to know how to make the scene,
We're
you know,
out
become
then.
part of the scene, but not overshadow what's happening in the front of the shoot. So, you know, it's definitely, I mean, people need to, and there's so many great kids. I've worked with so many great kids who are just darling and so fun. And you know, you have to do things over and over and over again. So it's not like, okay, we did that once and we're moving on. A lot of times, depending on a lot of different circumstances, whether it's the lighting or they want to change something that I say, or they want to map out the blocking where people go. So sometimes you might do things a couple of times. Sometimes you might do something 10 or 15 times. It just depends on what's happening. You know, we have to get the right shot and everything has to be
I bet
perfection.
you the Animal Kingdom is probably one of the hardest ones to shoot at, getting the animals to do what they want them to do when you're shooting
Yeah, like my Uncle Phil, the gorilla. Yeah.
them. I love that gorilla.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have loved monkeys, all kinds of monkeys since I was little. I have all these wonderful stuffed animals and I love monkeys. Oh my gosh. So yeah, when I saw that gorilla, I'm like, let's take our time here. That was so fun.
Yeah, the Animal Kingdom's my. I love that park. I love everything about it. I love what it stands for, the conservation. You know,
Yeah.
everything that goes on there. I always say it on this show, you guys need to slow down and look around and enjoy that park because there's so many things that are hidden there that you get in
Yeah.
a rush and roam through there, you're missing half the fun.
Absolutely, yeah. And just the vegetation alone is so interesting and definitely I love it. And of course, Expedition Everest is just awesome.
Now, put you on the spot again. Out of all the restaurants on property, where's your favorite place to eat?
Well, see, I'm really bad at this one, and let me tell you why. Because I don't necessarily eat at a lot of the restaurants because of my schedule. But unfortunately, Cat Cora's place on the boardwalk is no longer there.
Yeah,
So that kind
Cuisina.
of,
Cuisina.
yeah.
It's
That,
closed.
yeah. So I was like, man, I should have enjoyed it a little bit more because the last time I was there, that's it, she's gone. But I love World Showcase because it's so fun to go, hey, I want some gelato. No, I want some Moroccan. I think it's kind of fun to have sort of this little buffet of different things. So I would say, is it Marrakesh that's in there?
Marrakesh is there, and they also have
Correct.
now called Spice Road Tables that me and Dennis really like. Have you seen that restaurant yet?
No, I haven't been to that one, but Marrakesh, I know I've eaten there a few times when we had a break for lunch. The whole team went there, and that, you know, because I'm vegetarian. I'm always vegetarian, and I have phases of being vegan, so I'm kind of a vegan hybrid.
Okay.
So you know, for me, sometimes if I'm eating dairy or I'm not, but I mean, I think it's very friendly to alternative eating styles. And I think that's great that how they have realized that you have maybe kids with gluten allergies, or it's really cool that they have evolved so everything isn't just the turkey leg, you know?
They go above and beyond. I mean, the hummus at Spice Road Tables is incredible, which I think
Okay,
you'd
well, now
really enjoy that.
I'm half Lebanese, so. I will have to see the hummus because I gotta tell you, my hummus is
Okay,
legendary.
there you go.
I was taught by my Lebanese grandmother, so I got it from the source.
Okay, that sounds like Spice Road Table has a challenge.
Okay, well, see, now I have two things because, okay, I'll try the hummus there, and then I've never had a Dole Whip. Okay, I know. Pause for gasping.
No,
I've
come
never
on
had a
now.
Dole Whip.
You're sending shudders through the Disney community.
Just do yourself a favor, Stacy. We were down there this past fall, and it was 90-some degrees out, and I was dying for a Dole Whip. If it's super, super hot, whatever you do, don't go over there and eat the Dole Whip quick because it'll literally make you feel like you're having a heart attack with that cold food going
Oh,
down you.
really?
It literally scared me. That it was like I had two bites and it was because it was so hot and the Dole Whip is so fresh and cold, you
Yeah.
feel it going down your chest. So make sure you get it early in the morning before it's scalding hot out.
Thank you for the safety tip. My gosh, that could have been very
You
dramatic.
won't enjoy that, trust me.
Okay, I trust you. Yeah,
So.
some people are like, they can't believe it. And I said, well, listen, guys, I'm not walking around just eating. I'm actually trying to do a little work. So, but no, I'll add that Spice Road Table to my must-dos, my eating must-dos.
So, Stacy, being out on the West Coast, have you been to Disneyland or do you get to Disneyland at all?
Yeah, I've been to Disneyland and California Adventure a few times. I've been here 8 years and
Okay.
I've been there a few times, a handful of times. And it's lovely because it's the original, and I mean, obviously my heart is always with Disney World, and I'm not being paid to say that, but I love just
Right.
the massiveness of it and the variety. And it is nice though when you're at Disneyland and California Adventure that you can do both parks in a day. You don't have to even spend the night. That's nice.
I mean, they're a stone's throw away from each other, and it's just amazing. I'm an East Coaster, and I've been to Walt Disney World many, many, many times, but I also have been to Disneyland twice, and it's just a whole different animal out there where you can go from park to park, and the downtown Disney district, bisecting the both parks, if you will. It's just amazing that it's just a different feel, if you will. But if you're into nostalgia and Walt Disney and all that, and when you
Yeah.
walk on the main street and see his the candle they have lit in the window there, I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
I just melted when I went out there. I mean, if from a love of Walt Disney World and Walt himself, I mean, that is the original, and it holds a special place in my heart anyways.
Just knowing he's been
Absolutely.
there.
I know. And that's the thing. I mean, and it's so genius how they've used the perspective to make the castle seem bigger and what they, it's lovely. And I love that it's not that far and that when I need to experience that it's there. And it's really nice to see how things have changed there too and how they're continuing to make that new and exciting. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a historian. I mean, I love my pictures, and I'm a big journal writer, and so I love things that really remind you where you came from to help you for where you're going, and so I really appreciate that about just Disney in general.
No, well, we love, and me and Den talk on the show all the time. It's just how safe, how secure, how great you feel once you go under those gates into that property. It's a feeling that no other place has, in my opinion.
It's true, yeah. And just that everybody, you can start out, maybe you're driving there and there's traffic or you don't have the right hat on or whatever, but it's like you can't not feel good. You can't not be happy when you go there. And what a wonderful guarantee that is when there aren't that many guarantees in life.
Yeah, the cast members are like, that's why you fit so well. You're like them. They're trying to make your day as happy as you possibly can. It's rare that you come across a cast member that even though they're all normal people living their lives, they keep that happy face on all the time for you. It's
For sure.
incredible.
Yeah.
So, but Stace, we won't keep you much longer. We really appreciate you coming on with us. We really enjoyed having you. You got an open invitation anytime you want to come
Thank
back.
you. It's my pleasure. You guys are doing awesome stuff, and I appreciate it. Any chance I get to say hi to everybody, and thanks to everyone who's listening, I really appreciate it. Keep up with me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and I love hearing your stories and seeing your pictures. It's really cool to be a part of that.
Well, you keep up the great work. Everybody go check Stacy out at VO Buzz Weekly. I'm sure she'll enjoy seeing you guys come over and watch our videos. And we will follow you on Twitter and Facebook, and you've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stacey. Thanks for being on.
Stay out of the snowbanks.
Yeah, right.
We have no choice.
Drop some breadcrumbs.
You enjoy that beautiful weather out there in California.
Thank you.
Good night, Stacey.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.